Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 10-4, chapter 29, verse 42 and 43-44, but we shall repeat and sing together the Sanskrit for verse 42, which is on the board. And you'll have a problem sitting here. No one has a flashlight by any chance? The doctor told me when I was 47 and that I had to wear reading glasses, and I was very distraught. But he said, "Don't be distraught. When you're 52, your eyesight is really going to go down." And I'm 52 now. So not only I'm not able to read, but I see everything fuzzy. This is one of the downsides of old age. But there are many good sides of old age. Thank you very much.
Rajapati pati sakshat bhagavan girisho manu dakshadaya prajat yaksha naishtika sanakadaya.
Rajapati pati Brahma, the father of all progenitors, sakshat directly bhagavan, the most powerful, Girishaha, Lord Shiva, Manu, Daksha Adaya, headed by King Daksha, Praja Adyaksha, the rulers of mankind, Naishtika, the strong Brahmacharis, Shanaka Adaya, headed by Sanaka, Marichi, Atri Angirasso, Atri and Angira. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The most powerful Lord Brahma, the father of all progenitors, Lord Shiva, Manu, Daksha, and the other rulers of humankind, the four saintly first-class brahmacharis headed by Sanaka and Sanatana, the great sages Marichi, Atri, Angira, Palasya, Puraha, Kratu, Bhrigu, and Vashishta, my humble self, Narada, are all stalwart Brahmins who can speak authoritatively on Vedic literature. We are very powerful because of austerities, meditation, and education. Nonetheless, even after inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom we always see, we do not know perfectly about him. Purport by His language, Srila Prabhupada. According to the foolish Darwinian theory of the anthropologists, it is said that 40,000 years ago, Homo sapiens had not appeared on this planet because the process of evolution had not reached that point. However, the Vedic histories, the Puranas and Mahabharata, relate human histories that extend millions and millions of years into the past. In the beginning of the creation, there was a very intelligent personality, Lord Brahma, and from him emanated all the Manus and the Brahmacharis like Sanaka and Sanatan, as well as Lord Shiva, the greatest sages, the great sages and Narada. All these personalities underwent great austerities and penances and thus became authorities in Vedic knowledge. Perfect knowledge for human beings, as well as for all living entities, is contained in the Vedas. All the above-mentioned great personalities are not only powerful, being cognizant of past, present and future, but they are also devotees. Still, in spite of their great education and knowledge, and despite their meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, they cannot actually understand the perfection of the living entity's relationship with Lord Vishnu. This means that these personalities are still limited, as far as their knowledge of the unlimited is concerned. The conclusion is that simply by advancing one's knowledge, one cannot be accepted as an expert in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can be understood only not by advanced knowledge, but by pure devotional service as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. 1855. Vakyamama vijanati yavan yashchatmi tattaha. Unless one takes the pure transcendental devotional service, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in truth. Everyone has some imperfect idea about the Lord. So-called scientists and philosophical speculators are unable to understand the Supreme Lord by virtue of their knowledge. Knowledge is not perfect unless one comes to the platform of devotional service. This is confirmed by the Vedic version. Krishna Prabhupada quotes a verse here. The speculators, the jnanis, go on speculating about the Supreme Personality of Godhead for many, many hundreds of thousands of years. But unless one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot understand His supreme glories. All the great sages mentioned in this verse have their planets near Brahmaloka, the planet where Lord Brahma resides along with the four sages, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumara. These sages reside in different stars known as the southern stars, which circle the pole star. The pole star called Dhruvaloka is the pivot of the universe, and all planets move around the pole star. All the stars are planets, as far as we can see, within this one universe. According to Western theory, all the stars are different suns. But according to Vedic information, there is only one sun within the universe. All the so-called stars are but different planets. Besides this universe, there are many millions of other universes, and each one of them contains similar innumerable stars and planets. Yes, this verse brings to mind the famous statement by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, in response to Sri Krishna's Chatushloki, Krishna describing himself as the Supreme Lord. And Arjuna responds by saying, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shashvato Divyam, Adidevam Ajam Guru. That you are Param Brahma. Some people think that there is Brahman. But I know from what I hear, and of course Krishna is going to prove this by showing his universal form to Arjuna. But not to convince him, because Arjuna is already convinced of Krishna's supreme position. Arjuna will ask the Lord to show the universal form for the benefit of others who may not be convinced of Krishna's actual position. But the devotee already knows that behind Brahma, there is another verse, Brahmanohi Pratishtana. He is a Sanskrit adverbial particle that means to insist on a statement, to make something even stronger. So, Brahmanohi Pratishtana, I am even the support, the basis of Brahman itself. People think Brahman is supreme, but I am the basis of Brahman. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. I am also the refuge of all living entities. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yaviditati Kaman. That of all the living entities, there is only one who is the maintainer of all and who fulfills all desires according to what they deserve. And who is that? Krishna says, I am. He also says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu. Just a few verses earlier. So he is giving in Bhagavad Gita all the information that is required to know his position so that we may know our position. Now, this verse echoes this Param Brahman verse just like Srimad Bhagavatam does as a rule. Yesterday, I was reading from Bhagavad Gita at 7:30, like I usually do. By the way, everyone is invited. A little publicity here. There was only one person. So quantity wasn't very much there, but quality was. Before I even started, the lady asked me a question. What is the difference between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam? So I was very enlivened to hear such an intelligent question right off the start. And my answer came was that there is no difference, and yet there is a difference. Actually, they echo each other. They cross-reference each other. And as much as Bhagavad Gita can be considered the ABC of Vedic knowledge, you can consider Srimad Bhagavatam as the whole alphabet from A to Z. And at the same time, Srimad Bhagavatam means the beautiful stories of the personality of Godhead, whereas Bhagavad Gita is the direct speech, the Gita, the song of the Supreme Lord. So, in order to illustrate that song with beautiful pictures, like we see in Prabhupada's books, the Srimad Bhagavatam was composed. It's full of stories. And these stories are there to illustrate the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Shastatam Pavitram, what is it? Param Brahma Param Dhamma Param Bhavam. You, Arjuna says, you, Bhavam, you are the purest. And you are eternal. You are the eternal person. There is no one, there was no being, beginning. Purusham. Now, Purusham really nails the nail in it. Purusham, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport of this verse, that this verse is actually a gift. It's a chance to the Mayavadis to make it very clear. Because sometimes they say, well, you know, Bhagavad Gita is not that clear. It can be interpreted in various ways. So how can you interpret this in any other way? That Purusham Shastatam Divyam, eternal person and divine. So, it is, we're not talking of a material person here, or a material body. These three terms, divine, eternal, and person, nail it on the head. There is no question of interpretation. We are talking of a person who is eternal, not temporary, and who is divine in nature, not material. Adi Devam, Ajam Guru. He is the original, like the original candle that lights all the others. Adi Devam, like Brahma Tene Brahma Ridaya Adikavaye. He is Adikavaye. He is the first created living being. So he is supreme in the creation or in the sub-creation. But here also, Narada says, Jai Shri Radha Krishna. The most powerful Lord Brahma, the father and of all progenitors, even Lord Brahma, being Adikavaye, he is born of Krishna. But to speak of Brahma, all the Vishnu expansions come from Krishna. Adidevam Ajam Vibhu. Vibhu is the greatest. The Muslims call him Allah, who also means the greatest. Adidevam Ajam Vibhu. And in the just earlier, the seventh verse of the same chapter, just before the Chatushloki, Krishna says, Etam vibhutim yogam cha mama yoviti tattvataha so vikalpena yogena vikalpena yoga, no deviation. Those who know all these opulences that Krishna has described, those who know that in truth, tattvataha, what do? They worship me vikalpa yogena without any deviation. Abhyasi lasita sutyam, jnana karma jnana vritam. This is the definition given by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sutta. To confirm this, that pure devotional service is that which is unmotivated but uninterrupted. It is constant. So those people who have this devotion for the Lord as a result of knowing His glories, they engage in pure devotional service. But it's what Narada is saying in this verse, that even such people, such great souls, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, even though their eyes, their vision is anointed with the balm of devotion, and so they know the Supreme Lord. They know He is Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. They know He is Bhaktaram Yajya Tapasam. They know all the glories about Him, and yet, Narada says, even we cannot understand the Supreme Lord. He is unknowable. Even with bhakti, bhaktyamam abhijanati, Krishna, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, is the way to understand Krishna in truth. But you will not read, you will not find a statement saying, to know Krishna in full. To know Krishna in full is not possible. Not only it is not possible, but it is not desirable to the devotee. What does he care to know Krishna in full? If you know a fragment of Krishna, it is already full. It is too full. But to know Krishna in truth is what matters. So here I have my Bhagavad Gita to go over the Chatushloki of Bhagavad Gita. Does everyone know these four verses? Or anyone doesn't? So let us go through them together. First, as I mentioned, Krishna mentioned, stated, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. Those who know that I am the source of everything, Matasaram Pravatate, that everything emanates from me, what do? They engage in devotional service with all their hearts. With all their hearts, with all their minds. And then he goes on to say, Machita Madhyata Prana, Bodhayanta Parasparam, Katayanta Shamanita, Tushyanticha, Romanticha. These two words, Tushyanticha, Romanticha. By knowing that Krishna is in the heart, the thoughts of my pure devotees always dwell in me. Because they always dwell in me, they dwell in Krishna, not only that He is the Supreme Lord, but that He is so sweet. So the devotee's soul always dwell in Krishna. And this is how he knows the Supreme Lord. And he no longer so much knows Krishna as Supreme. It is said that God doesn't like to be God all the time. So in order to serve that, the devotee has to forget. There is a device, a mechanism, where the devotee tends to forget the Supreme position of Krishna for the sake of pleasing Krishna more, like this. Machita Matya Dabrana. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. So not only thinking, but acting. Because more important than the feeling of love is the devotional attitude of a devotee. To serve the Lord because He is the Supreme Enjoyer, because He is the origin of everything. But not only that, but because He is so sweet, because it gives the devotee so much pleasure and satisfaction. These two words, tushanticha, romanticha, are complementary. Not only satisfaction, but pleasure, bliss. This is what the devotee automatically experiences. And therefore, they derive great satisfaction and bliss, enlightening each other about me. Enlightening each other, this preaching here. As Prabhupada mentioned, that this the highest nectar that he has to give, that Lord Chaitanya came to deliver, is the bliss experienced by Bodhayanta. Preaching to the conditioned souls, but here is mentioned not only to those who are in ignorance, but to each other. They derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening each other in conversing about me, Krishna says. So, in conclusion, even though at first it is essential to understand Krishna's supreme position so as to worship Him according to what is right according to the descriptions of the Vedas which are given by him. Ultimately, that becomes a secondary reason. The main reason being the actual sweetness of the Lord in his personality, the fact that he is a person that we fail to appreciate, especially after some time we become devotees. The exceptional fact of the Lord being a person. Because if the Lord is anything less than a person, the bliss, the interaction, it doesn't take place. And for, like in the previous verse we read a couple of days ago, for those who are too attached to material sense enjoyment, here it was described hunger and thirst, there is no time. There is no time to delve in the sweetness of the Lord. We are always busy with other things. Whether it is hunger, thirst, or lust, the soul is covered by different degrees of lust. Avritam jnanam etena. So there is a need to uncover the soul. And as Narada points out, as well as Srila Prabhupada, practically in the purport, where is the power of these great sages and demigods come from? It comes from their austerities, their penances and austerities. Because the bliss that a devotee experiences is based on the practice of austerities. Like Prabhupada mentions in some purport of the Gita, these are the regulative principles of freedom that are given. They are the means by which we can attain not only freedom but also peace and bliss. By performing our sadhana, these are the means. There is no other ways. Like in the previous purport, it was mentioned again and again about sahajyas, the tendency to make everything easy. Sahaja means easy. That's the meaning of the word in Sanskrit. So, to make things easy means cheap. Prabhupada was once asked, but Prabhupada, you said this process was easy. Prabhupada said, I never said that. Did I say that? I said it was simple. It's a simple process, not to be confused with easy. It gets easier and easier. The mode of goodness gets easier and easier as we reach it. And there is no actual bhakti without goodness, without passing through sattva. Devotional service is based on the mode of goodness. There is a need to acquire this mode of goodness. So, the good news is that if anyone is experiencing any difficulty in spiritual life, take it as the good news. This is in the books. It's confirmed that it's supposed to be difficult. So, you're on the right path. And the next good news is that it's going to get easier and easier with time. The next verse, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajata priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yedamamupayantite. Even intelligence that we have, tadami, is Krishna gives. He gives at birth, so we have it. But if we don't use it properly, then Krishna again gives it. He clarifies situations that we may come across. He clears obstacles through our intelligence. Not that we have to always depend on Krishna to do things for us. Surrender is not like that. Surrender doesn't mean that we stop acting and we simply rely on Krishna to do everything for us. He has given us intelligence. Prabhupada used to say, use it. Krishna has given you, now you must use it. Same with the Guru. One day the Guru will no longer be there. And so one will have to connect with the Chaita Guru inside, which is buddhi, which is intelligence. Buddhi bhava, buddhi bhava, bhava samantita. Finally, the last verse of the Chatushloki. Tesham evanukampatam aham ajaramam tamaha. Omagyanati medandasya. We offer respect to the spiritual master for dispelling the darkness of ignorance that we were born into. But Krishna actually says here that this, he is the one, through the spiritual master, he is the one who dispels that darkness, tamaha, aham, this darkness of ignorance. No other than Krishna dispels it. One image I often refer to describe it, the position of Krishna in context with the position of the soul. It's a beautiful image of a dancer, if we consider Krishna to be the supreme dancer, and the soul to be like the feminine dancer, like the lady in a couple dancing a waltz or tango. You know, tango has got this abrupt movement, very sensual, but it fits the image here that Lord Chaitanya expresses, you may crush me or you may be absent. I will just dance along with whatever you want me to be. Prabhupada also says, I am only your puppet and you may make me dance as you wish. So surrender actually means to become that female dancer in the hands of her man, her lord, who needs to know every step of the dance, but she doesn't need to. The lady doesn't need to know anything about dancing. She is like a puppet, a dummy dancer. You know, sometimes dancers, they practice with a dummy. And they pretend that someone is there. And so it's very easy because the dummy just goes along with everything. So this is a devotee. He has to become like a dummy. All he has to know is to allow himself to be guided by Krishna, like Arjuna is on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna is the supreme dancer. We only need to be in his arms and to allow him to lead us as he wishes. And in tango, sometimes it goes left and right in a split second. The lady has to be very surrendered in order to be appreciated as a first-class tango dancer. So this is what it takes. Full surrender is to be adaptable, malleable, like clay. This is another image given. Like clay, that we can be molded as the Lord wishes. And that disciples are molded as the spiritual master needs for his mission to go on. Whatever it takes for this movement to go on. There was this disciple in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada had put him in charge of the construction because he used to be a builder. But he wasn't happy with the job. I was a builder before, now I came to this movement to do some meditation and some devotional service. Why do I have to do building again? But Prabhupada didn't ask his opinion, said this is what's needed. So therefore, the disciple was unhappy. And eventually, because he didn't understand this principle of surrender to whatever needs to be done, he decided to leave Vrindavan. So he went to all the deities and bid their farewell that I'm leaving Vrindavan. Then other disciples went to Prabhupada and told him, the builder is leaving, your disciple, he is leaving. And Prabhupada looked at them and said, no. He is not leaving. You better stop him because he's leaving. I said, no, he's not leaving. Krishna is kicking him out. He may think that he is leaving, but actually the truth, the situation is that Krishna is allowing him to think that he is leaving, when in fact he no longer deserves to be in the Dham. Because to be in the Dham, one has to have some amount of surrender. At least to follow the orders of the spiritual master according to what is needed for Lord Chaitanya's mission to be spread. Another point made by Narada here is that all these personalities are very powerful and they are all knowing. They know present, past and future. But what is their all knowing? Their all knowing is not that they know Krishna in every way. Because that is not possible. Their all-knowing is, even though Narada says, oh, we are all very powerful, it sounds like Narada is blowing his own horn, you know. We are all so pure, we've done so many austerities. But actually, Narada, especially, is the most humble soul. And his pride, if there is any, the pride of a devotee, if there is any, is to only know what Krishna wants you to know. Prabhupada made that statement once, that, oh, Swamiji, do you know everything? And Prabhupada said, I know everything that, well, the spiritual master knows everything that Krishna wants him to know. And if he knows this is the true position of knowing, then he is in full knowledge. So whenever there is reference of the guru or the pure devotee knowing everything, that's what it means. He knows that I can never know everything. In fact, with my little tiny brain, I cannot know anything. Even a great philosopher, a mundane philosopher, made that statement. That the beginning of knowledge is when we know that we don't know anything. So it doesn't take a transcendentalist to be aware of that. Once we realize that our incapacity to know Krishna, and we simply surrender to the process of loving Him with great devotion and service, then only we can know Him in truth. In other words, in our constitutional position. In this purport, there is extensive reference by Srila Prabhupada about his about the scientists, the anthropologists. So we have the anthropologists, we have the astronomers, we have scientists interested in space travel, microbiologists, and even though they conduct so much research, their interest, their problem is not just hunger and thirst, like mentioned in the previous verse, but it is the thirst for knowledge, for research. That my using my little tiny brain, they are the opposite of the devotees in that they give full faith to their own tiny little brain, and therefore they come with so many theorizing, like Prabhupada mentions in the end of this purport, theorizing, which is another word for mental speculation. Vain research, also Prabhupada calls it. And the goal of such research, of such knowledge, is always something to do with curing. Like modern medicine is about curing illness, as opposed to preventing it. In the same way, the scientists are trying to resolve the problems of life, which they have created, by coming up with some kind of pill that will cure the disease, which in fact it doesn't. It simply suppresses the cause. And even if it cures it, unless the diet and the lifestyle of the person changes to prevent reoccurrence of the disease, the disease will come back. So this attitude, the modern attitude of curing or speculating, trying in our own hands, putting destiny in our own hands to solve our problems instead of commending our spirit into the hands of the Lord, is bound to failure. Devotional service means to surrender to the will of God in every way. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Prabhupada ki.